Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the Court, my name is Ted Donner. I represent Instep Beijing, the appellant in this case. Your Honor, this case is before the Court from a summary judgment determination in the Court below, and we're here because we believe that the Court below erred by doing what it called a Four Corners analysis, but which I would contend essentially in some ways rewrote the party's agreement. What we have, Your Honor, is a U.S. company, Instep Software, which I'll refer to generally as Instep U.S., and my client, Instep Beijing in China. These two entities worked together, licensor and licensee, for many years.
I gather that Instep is a member of Instep Beijing.
That's correct, Your Honor. Instep
that
U.S.
That creates a certain problem with subject matter jurisdiction, and I notice that your brief does raise the jurisdictional problem. Perhaps we need to address that.
Absolutely,
before we discuss the merits.
I should premise my comments by saying on some levels I think that we may lose the jurisdictional argument because I think it does turn largely.
You may lose the jurisdictional argument? What do you think about the holding of Fellows against Shangzhou Fellows?
I'm not familiar with the case, Your Honor, actually.
A decision of this court 2 months ago holds in what, so far as I can tell, is an absolutely identical case, as you could tell by Fellows versus Shangzhou Fellows. In other words, it's another Chinese corporation with an American corporation as a member suing. We held that there's no diversity jurisdiction. I am more than a little puzzled that this two-month-old decision of the Seventh Circuit seems to have escaped the attention of both sides, but for the life of me, I cannot see how there's jurisdiction here if there wasn't any jurisdiction in Fellows.
Your Honor, this goes to the idea that you should do your homework after you submit your last brief, and I apologize that I didn't. We did look at cases involving the Four Corners Doctrine, but I did not think to do that, and I'm sorry. But
well, jurisdiction is first.
Absolutely.
The parties' briefs in this case debate one way or another whether Instep Beijing is a, quote, juridical person, close quote. And that's what the affidavits were about in the district court. And in the Fellows case, we held that that was absolutely irrelevant, that the Puerto Rico case on which it was the genesis of that test applies to Puerto Rico entities and nothing else, and that that's that. I don't understand any theory under which Instep Beijing would be treated as an American corporation if Shangzhou Jinrei Fellows office equipment was not treated as an American corporation.
I don't know whether the case involved a Sino-foreign joint venture, Your Honor, but if it involved a joint venture, I would completely agree with you, because when you have partners, Instep U.S. is definitely a partner, and Instep Beijing...
Shangzhou Fellows called itself a limited liability company, but the only argument there, and so far as I can tell, the only argument here is that the precise attributes of the Chinese entity should be disregarded as long as it is a juridical person. And that's the argument that was squarely rejected in the Fellows case.
Which I think makes sense, Your Honor, because the juridical person argument to me depended upon distinguishing corporate-style entities from partnership-style entities. And while China does refer to this as a juridical person internally, as a practical matter, it has all the attributes of a partnership, and it should be treated as a partnership. And I don't know if that was an issue in the case you're referring to, the Fellows case, as I said, I did not read, but the partnership attributes, take a look at whether the parties are different members, if their ownership is separate, if they vote together. It's only when you get into the corporate isolation, limited partners, shareholders that don't have direct involvement, that you go beyond what is effectively a partnership. This is, by its name, a joint venture. And so I would agree with you. If the court's found that, I'm certainly pleased by the logic of it, and I'm glad to hear that. I had found myself reconciling the older cases and saying that under the Puerto Rican line of decisions, when you have a juridical person, you're stuck with it. And frankly,
you know, the Supreme Court held otherwise in the Cardin case more than 20 years ago.
They did, Your Honor, and I argued that.
They confined the Puerto Rico case to its facts more than 20 years ago.
There have been subsequent cases then, Your Honor. We did argue that in the court below, and the subsequent cases have made clear that you look at the format of the entity. And what we did not have from my side, frankly, was an expert affidavit that spoke to the fact that this would be treated as a partnership under Chinese law. Our expert did not turn a document in time, and so I felt that part of it was lost. But if we have precedent in the Fellows case, I certainly continue to believe this case does not belong here. As a practical matter, it should have been resolved under the entire rubric of the partnership itself through arbitration in China, because these parties, such as they are in a partnership, and this software licensing agreement being the dispositive issue is kind of the tail wagging the dog. And so, Your Honor, if I may, I'm going to address the substance of that, assuming that you deny our jurisdictional argument from the brief, and say that as a practical matter, what I'm concerned with first and foremost in the error of the court, if the court is still going to have jurisdiction on this case, is the decision to look at the four corners of this software license agreement and find that it is an integrated contract which, standing alone, tells you everything there is to know. It doesn't, for example, tell you the jurisdiction of the parties. It effectively ignores the idea that there is, well, the court's decision effectively ignores the idea that there should have been a different document out there to make this a complete contract. I've analogized this, Your Honors, to a warranty document at a car salesman dealership. You can walk in, they can show you a piece of paper, say, here's our warranty, but you do not have a contract until you buy the car. And this warranty, such as it is, speaks to the licensing rights that would arise under a separate document. And that document was never before the court below. We said that that document was, and I continue to believe that it was, the joint venture agreement between the parties. Section 2.1 of the license spoke to the idea that the royalties and pricings would be established by mutual agreement in writing, initially. Counsel argued, and there's nothing in the document to show why that could be argued, that royalties and pricing had to be negotiated annually, and that there had to be a separate writing every year after 2007 to memorialize that somehow renegotiated agreement. The document does say that the royalties and pricing must be renewed annually. It doesn't give either party discretion. It doesn't give either party an ability to renegotiate the ideas. It simply says it must be renewed annually. There's a definite term in the joint venture agreement, which I would suggest and point out is the key to that, which is the joint venture agreement is a 20-year agreement. The parties had an initial agreement. They entered into an agreement in 2007. They did business for years under that agreement. If they want to dissolve the partnership, the other place that speaks to the idea that this is the wrong forum is the termination provisions of this document, because the termination provisions themselves speak to the fact that everything in this document should be decided by reference to the joint venture. The agreement terminates immediately upon dissolution of the joint venture or upon withdrawal of Instep US from the joint venture. And under the term and termination clause itself, Section 3, the agreement terminates upon the termination or expiration of the joint venture. This dispute, such as it is a sidebar dispute of a joint venture party's dispute. And that case, Your Honor, should be decided in China, where it is now currently actually being arbitrated, or at least was when we submitted our last brief. I don't know the status today. So unless there are some other further questions, I'll reserve the rest of my time.
Okay. Thank you very much, Mr. Downer.
Thank you,
Mr. Sternberg.
May it please the court. In Fellows, the parties both agreed that they were members like an LLC, a U.S. LLC partnership,
so rather
than
shareholders. So you knew about Fellows and chose not to call it to the court's attention. Do you think we were going to ignore it?
Not at all.
If you didn't call it to our attention? Then why didn't you call it to our attention?
I think in retrospect that I should have done whatever
there
was necessary
for a
supplemental
obligation
brief
on every attorney to call to the court's attention decisions adverse to his client and unknown to the opponent. Fellows appears to be unknown to your opponent. It is adverse to your client's interest, and you chose to remain silent until the court raised it.
I did not raise it. I did not choose to stay
silent. You chose
silent.
To remain silent until the court raised it.
There are factual distinctions between Fellows and the Instep Beijing in this case. In Fellows, the parties agreed that
in the
memberships
court,
were not dealing.
Did you rely for subject matter jurisdiction on any theory other than the juridical person argument?
Yes, we did rely on that.
Instep Beijing is not in your brief.
I agree that the issue of going beyond the juridical person was not well developed, but it is there. There are various references in the brief to that Instep Beijing is a corporation under Chinese law. Both sides submitted evidence that under Federal Rule of Civil Procedure 44.1 that would establish that Instep Beijing is a corporation and not an analog to a limited liability company under U.S. law. The first point is that the People's Republic of China company law, which gives life and governs the legal entity of Instep Beijing, states that the term company, which the company law applies to, includes a limited liability company. Now, it goes on to say it's a juridical person, but there's other aspects of the company law, which I'll discuss in a moment, as well as U.S. authority that says that a Chinese limited liability company is a corporation. We cited in our brief the case of Advanced Technology Materials Company versus United States, which was a International Court of Claims decision that said that under the Chinese company law, limited liability companies are owned by the shareholders and control is allocated within a corporate structure. That was in our briefs, both before the trial court and the appellate court. I'm sorry, it does have
tradable
shares. It does have shares. And that's admitted to.
Please answer my question.
I'm sorry.
Does it have tradable shares?
Not tradable on an open market, freely alienable.
Freely alienable?
Yes.
I've done some checking, and at least if Chinese law is translated accurately, it's not freely alienable. It's very much like partnership interests or memberships in LLCs.
But under
what's
Article...
What's your basis for saying that they are freely alienable?
Article 72 of the company law states that transfer of shares between shareholders are not restricted at all. But if a shareholder intends to transfer shares to a non-shareholder, the existing shareholders have, if they object to it, they have a preemptive right to buy those shares.
But what about the requirement for approval of the examination and approval authority? That is, the Chinese government has to consent to any transfer, so far as I can see.
I have not come across that in the Article 72.
Well, is the statement freely transferable exaggeration, even under your...
I think that freely transferable, in the sense that, shareholders of a close corporation, they may make restrictions.
Amongst themselves.
Among themselves, it's certainly freely transferable.
Shareholders of a close corporation don't require government approval to sell their shares.
I'm not familiar with a government requirement. I believe that this is similar to what you addressed, Judge Easterbrook, in the Boumatic case.
Counsel, you were here for the last case, were you not?
Yes, I was.
Right. The Seventh Circuit addressed an issue. Judges speak for the circuit.
I apologize, Your Honor. You spoke for the court, and you were the author of the decision in Boumatic, in which you addressed what was a Netherlands BV, the decision analogized it to
a
closely
held
BV, corporation.
The Seventh Circuit held that a Netherlands BV, and I never try to pronounce that, looked like a U.S. closely held corporation. Now, this entity, which seems to require government approval for any transfer of shares, doesn't look like a U.S. closely held corporation. In fact, it looks someplace on the other side of a partnership. Now, that may be wrong, but what worries me is that the only thing that seems to have been argued in the briefs is the juridical person contention. It's a juridical person, therefore it counts as a corporation for U.S. law. And that's something that got cleanly rejected in the Fellows case.
Well, that was not the only thing that we argued. And certainly if the Fellows decision had been issued 2 years ago, the district court arguments would be different and we'd be focusing more on the points of that Instep Beijing has shares. It's admitted to in the appellant's brief that InStep software? Is
InStep Beijing just like other Chinese corporations or something special?
It is. So China does not use the term corporation.
No, I understand.
So they
that.
Don't have a genre called corporation. They do have a genre of corporations called limited liability companies.
But when you talk about a company whose shares are transferable only with government permission, is this true of all Chinese corporations? Chinese government is pretty, you know, pervasive in its control of the
right, certainly
economy.
It is much more interventionist, has much more control over all business enterprises.
So
it has created
they generally
corporations.
Regulate share transfers the way you describe? Or is this something special to InStep Beijing or some other subset of Chinese corporations?
I don't want to step too far because I'm not aware of the point, the legal basis of what just Judge Easterbrook is citing. However, this company is no different than any other limited liability company, and the Chinese company law says the limited liability company is a basic corporation. And therefore, I would infer from that whatever restrictions on alienability of shares that apply to InStep Beijing apply to all corporate entities under Chinese law. But it has all of the earmarks of a corporation. Even InStep Beijing's expert agrees that what was transferred to InStep Software by InStep Asia was its shares in InStep Beijing. So we're not talking about a membership interest, not a mere equity or partnership interest. We're talking about a share interest. And we cite in our briefs all of the authorities that compare a U.S. corporation to a Chinese limited liability company. The shareholders select the board. The company is managed by the board of directors as opposed to being managed by its members or a manager members. Both entities may have limited liability, so I don't think that's so much of
everything
a distinction.
Everything you've said so far is true of a limited liability company in the United States, too. And we've held that it does not have a separate system.
Well, a limited liability company does not have a board of directors. It's managed by its members or by a managing member. That's different.
It's managed in any way chosen by, decided
right.
by the members.
But by law, under Chinese law, the company law, a limited liability company is managed by a board of directors. And the Article 4 of the Chinese company law
I
says...
I see why that matters. One decision you may or may not know, we've held that professional corporations are corporations for
right,
purposes
I'm familiar
of
American
with law. They don't have boards of directors.
And that's true, but if we're comparing, is InStep Beijing a limited liability company under U.S. law, or is it like a corporation under U.S. law? It
like,
is just like...
What it, describes itself as a joint venture.
Right. Except that it's a legal entity, and we go on to describe that it is a joint venture.
By the way,
venture.
What's the duration of this entity?
It is perpetual in the joint venture agreement. The joint venture relationship would end after a certain period of years.
My understanding of the Chinese law is that its duration is the time specified either in its creation agreement or by the examination and approval authority of the People's Republic of China.
Right, which I believe is unlimited, because it's not the joint venture agreement that created...
It means the examination authority can wrap it up when it wants.
Well, those authorities approved the creation of the company, InStep Beijing, well before the joint venture agreement came into being. It was formed in 2005. Before InStep Software became a shareholder. It's been a corporation since 2005. All that changed was that InStep Asia, which owned one-third of the shares, sold all of its shares to InStep Software. InStep Software then became the shareholder. And when you look at all of the earmarks between the what type of legal entity it is more closely analogous to a U.S. corporation, not to a U.S. LLC. Even if it's correct, as I'm sure that it is, that government approval is necessary for the transfer of shares, since that presumably applies to all of the LLCs.
Could you say something about the merits very briefly?
Yes, Your Honor. So we have pretty simple agreements here. So we have a disputed joint venture agreement. We have an undisputed software license agreement. The software license agreement gives a present license, and the continuation of that license is subject to reaching an agreement on pricing and royalties, which we explain in our briefs go hand in hand. There's no dispute that no agreement that at least expressly meets that requirement was ever reached. Now, counsel has always raised that, well, the joint venture agreement does that, but the joint venture agreement was a contemporaneous agreement. Contemporaneous agreements were excluded under the software license agreement. The software license agreement didn't integrate, didn't incorporate the joint venture agreement. The joint venture agreement made no reference to the software license agreement. It made no reference to software pricing and royalties. I see that I'm out of time.
No.
Do you want me to continue?
Yeah, sure.
Thank you. And therefore, as the court found, the trial court found, there was no incorporation. The joint venture agreement addressed issues between the owners of the company. The software license agreement addressed issues between the licensor and licensee, dictated that Illinois law, Illinois courts would have jurisdiction over the issues. The court passed on, the district court passed on this four times: motion to dismiss, motion to reconsider that, motion for summary judgment, motion to reconsider that. All of these arguments were out there before Judge Darrow, who very ably dealt with that four times to say these are not integrated agreements. The joint venture agreement does not in any way address the software pricing and royalties. It's undisputed that there was no other agreement. There were never any royalties to pay. There was a non-waiver clause. And when we proposed a software pricing and royalties agreement, they rejected it. They didn't come back with some sort of negotiation, and they didn't raise as an affirmative defense that we somehow breached a duty of good faith. And as Your Honors know, our supposed ulterior motive is irrelevant if the legal documents and facts establish that there is a right to terminate on that basis. So finally, if the court is concerned that based on the Fellows decision, that Instep Beijing might not be anything more than a limited liability company rather than analog to a U.S. corporation, then I would suggest that the appropriate remedy is not to dismiss the case, but to remand to the district court to take further evidence under Federal Rule of Civil Procedure 44.1 to take all of the relevant evidence that can be gathered to make that determination as to whether Instep Beijing is considered a corporation, since that determination has a lot of impact on future litigation, or a limited liability company for which there would be no diversity jurisdiction. Okay. Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you very much, Mr. Sternberg. Mr. Donner?
Thank you, Your Honors. Your Honor, with respect to the jurisdictional issue, I think the one thing that I want to emphasize is that we did have this duality of tracks in terms of the facts in the court below, because as counsel pointed out, the joint venture agreement itself was in dispute. Counsel argued below, and the judge appeared to accept, at least for purposes of our initial jurisdictional argument, that the joint venture agreement was never executed. Our point at the time was, if it wasn't, if there is just nothing but a common law joint venture here, then it is a very simple jurisdictional argument, and there is absolutely no diversity of citizenship. If there is a joint venture agreement and we are relying on the documents that parties have referenced, then I think it's important to know what those say. Our expert, Yan Shun Quino, spoke to those issues and spoke to the issues that counsel was just talking about. What he pointed out, Mr. Kao, I hope I'm saying this right, said was that Instep US could only become a member of Instep if the joint venture contract and the Articles of Association were signed, filed, and approved by the Chinese government. Those documents had to be specifically approved for it to exist in the form that it was in. Counsel pointed out that there was a former entity and that there was this, and as briefly points to this document that is the equity transfer agreement, which was contemporaneously entered with the software license agreement. But if you look at the actual document itself, it speaks to the fact that it becomes effective upon approval by the original examination and approval authority. That's section 2.2. It says that the parties will enter into a joint venture agreement for purposes of submitting those documents to the examination and approval authority. That's 2.6. In order for the transfer to take place, there had to be a written joint venture agreement. My clients stated under oath there was such a thing, and we believe by the end of the case, certainly by virtue of the pleadings they had filed in China, which you'll find in our record as the expert tab at tab 3 and 4, they had acknowledged and were now pursuing that joint venture agreement in China, and not only existing, acknowledging its existence, but seeking remedies under its existence. So, Your Honors, I believe the court is correct that this is an agreement that was subject to court authority. The disposition of shares, InStep's U.S. participation were, as our experts pointed out, subject to the approval by the Chinese government. It was, in other respect, as we pointed out, a joint venture. And if Fellows holds the way that I hear that it holds, I believe that means that this case should be disposed of on jurisdictional grounds. That said, if the court finds otherwise, whether I've seen other cases where we've had to submit additional briefs on the question of jurisdiction, certainly counsel suggested it could go back to the court below for further factual development, although I think we both had experts submit statements on the subject. If there is any reason the case is still alive on the merits, then the thing that I want to emphasize most is that when you are talking about the joint venture agreement that exists, the party's document that exists, you cannot look at the software licensing agreement in isolation. It says there must be an agreement on pricing and royalties. There must be some further document. This is nothing more, as I said, than the warranty at the shop. You don't buy the car, it's nothing to you. This document, the software licensing agreement, depended upon its existence for something else to occur and something else to exist, some other document. If nothing ever existed, as counsel has suggested from time to time, if this document was in there in isolation, what was the source of the licensing and royalties that went on for that next 4 years? We've contended repeatedly it was the joint venture. That's the source of the party's deal. That's the thing they worked under. That's what the 1,000 pages of record submissions that we turned in showed. These parties worked under a joint venture agreement. That's what the facts will show if the case proceeds to trial, and that's why we believe summary judgment should have been denied.
Okay, well, thank you very much, Mr. Donner and Mr. Sternberg.
Thank you, Your Honor.